Hey everyone, so glad you could join us today. Welcome to our church online. And would you do me a favor, wherever you are, and if you're on the online chat, would you please just punch in where you're watching from and if you're comfortable, who's watching? We'd love to connect with you. Also, I want to highlight once again that we have staff that are joining us as well to request for prayer. You can select a request prayer button, or there's lots of other resources in the top menu bar that you can take advantage of. So this time of year is my favorite time of year. It's the time of year where we can get outside and we can enjoy the sunshine. And this past week has been beautiful. And I'm also a little bit super excited because I got to plant my first three rows of garden. I've got peas, I've got snow peas, I've got spinach, and I got lettuce in the garden now. And I love being able to, number one, first see new growth happen. That's always exciting. But I also love being able to take the seeds, surrender to the ground, and then live with the expectation of seeing it grow and develop toward a harvest. And so that's what we're hoping for our church. That's what we're hoping for you, that in this season of life that you are being able to sow into each other's lives, and you'll be able to see a harvest of not only community, but spiritual growth as well. So as we move into today's service, Pastor Chet has an amazing preach for us. He's going to introduce our fourfold gospel series, and I'm so looking forward to that. He's talking about Christ, our Savior, this weekend, but also we have the privilege, or I have the privilege, I have the privilege of being able to introduce you to one of our staff, and she oversees our care ministries. And so we're just going to go inside, and I want to introduce you to a very special lady, and we want to talk about something that is starting to hit our radar and has become very relevant in today's day and age. So join me inside. We'll see you in a moment. Yeah, so here we are, church. I've got Vicki Houghton. She oversees our care ministries here at the VAC, and I've just asked her to join me. So good morning, I guess. Vicki, how are you doing?
Good morning, Pastor Duane. I'm doing really well, thanks.
Good. I love the guitars in the background there. That's awesome.
They're not mine, but thanks.
That's great. Hey, listen, I just thought I'd get you to come on with us today, and I've got a couple of questions for you and some of the things I'm hearing from our pastoral staff. So one of the questions that I have is in regards to this term called parent shaming. Is that term familiar to you? And if so, can you kind of give us an idea of what it is?
Yeah, I also just recently, it's a new term, parent shaming. It just seems to have come about since the COVID virus, and a lot of parents having to jump into the role of not only parenting and having kids at home, but also teaching as well. So I think it's sort of that's where the term has sort of arrived from. And so, you know, as far as parent shaming, I think what I would do is just back up a little bit and talk about, you know, shame, period, and the issue of shame. So shame is like, it's like a tape, and it loops through your head, and it's negative thoughts. And it's also often an overwhelming feeling of just never feeling good enough. It comes over you. And it's like this white hot rage. It takes you from like 0 to 160 seconds. It's like, you know, when you see a dog that barks, you know, to sort of warn you, it's, you'll know that either your shame has possibly been triggered, or maybe somebody else's shame is triggered, because it's just a very quick, emotionally fueled reaction.
Okay.
And you're not feeling good enough inside. And often it's moments that have occurred when we're children will experience shame. So it can be as blatant as shame on you, or as what I like to call the nod of shame, which goes like this.
Yeah.
Comes with a little sigh attached to it, you know.
Yeah.
But they're messages, and like I said, they can be subtle or they can be direct. And so what happens is, if we don't have healthy places to process it, then we become adults, and oftentimes in different situations our shame can get triggered. Mm. Yeah, and the thing with shame is it can attach itself to it'll attach itself to like our jobs, or we can attach it to, say, our homes and how they're kept, or maybe how our children are performing. And so, you know, it's quite pervasive how it kind of can sneak in there on us. And often people will compare. And I always say comparison is the thief of joy. You know, it'll also often trigger shame.
Okay. So Vicki, that helps us understand this term parent shaming. Do you have any tips that can help us navigate shame?
Yes, I do. I will just go over them kind of systematically, and then maybe down the road we can unpack them a little bit further.
Sounds great.
So I think it's important to turn your day over, turn your will and your day over to God each day. It'll alleviate the anxieties around there needing to be something hugely accomplished in that day. I think it's important to recognize our feelings around shame, recognize it. Where do we feel it in our body? But also challenge the thoughts that come along, like I said, with that negative tape that kicks in. Self-care is fundamental. It's huge. Unfortunately, it's usually the first thing to go out the window, and it's really essentially important right now to ground us in all that's being required and expected in our lives right now at home. Empathy is important. If we can go back and empathize, recall what it was like to be a student in a classroom, you know, maybe some of those anxieties. What did we need to hear as children? Probably more, you know, hey, you're doing your best and good job and way to go, than, oops, you got these ones wrong with that dreaded red pen, right?
Right.
Also, we can start our days over anytime. If we feel things have gone awry, even if it's 4, 5, 7 o'clock at night, just give yourself some grace and give yourself permission to start the day over again. It's important to recognize our expectations of ourselves. Are they realistic? You know, are they exceedingly high of ourselves? Probably if they are, they will be of other people too. Again, introducing grace. And a great opportunity in these days to practice the fruits of the Spirit for ourselves and for others, right? Patience, kindness, grace. And to recognize not everything is forever, it's for now. I think when we get caught up in the, you know, I'm going to have to do this for months, how am I ever going to do this? Coming all the way back to today and knowing that God's grace is sufficient for us, enough for one day, that's all we need to ask for, you know, same as the manna in the desert. We just need this help, you know, for one day at a time. And also maybe consider ending every day with a bit of a check-in. If we're turning the day over to God, when our head hits the pillow, maybe we could just say, you know, what did I do well? What did I do differently today to combat the negative thoughts that, you know, sometimes ramble around in there? And I think also what I would just want to leave you with is to remember that each of us is God's beloved. And just to remember that, and when we feel ourselves, you know, dipping our toe into that pool of shame, that God's got this. He's got everything covered. And again, that he loves each of us, and we're all doing our best right now.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those. I know that you're working on some video resource where you'll be able to unpack these further, but I just want to say thank you. This was a quick flyby, and I really appreciate your time today. So we'll say goodbye for now.
Bye, Pastor Duane.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
So wonderful information for us as a church in navigating this issue of shame. So thank you so much, Vicki, for sharing that with us. We're looking forward to the resources you're putting together. And so, folks, if you're interested in more of that, you can email Vicki. Vicki at vernonlyons.org, or you can just stay tuned to our social media feeds and watch for the video resources that come out as she puts them together. As we move forward into our service today, I'm just so grateful for all of those that participated last weekend on our Easter service. Huge effort, huge amount of work and prayer and discernment and energy put into that event. And I'm just very grateful for all those that participated. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Also, keep connecting with us. There's various ways that we're going online. For example, Pastor Chat has taken the whole youth program and put it to a virtual platform with all the appropriate safeguards. And I'm hearing awesome reports. I heard a story from a mom this weekend about how her daughter is enjoying this new creative way of interacting and connecting. And so well done, Student Ministries team. And I know VAC Kids, well done to you too. I heard great reviews on your Easter segment as well. And so there's many other things that'll be coming out during the days ahead. And we just want to encourage you, stay tuned to our social media. So as we move into a time of worship, and today we're really blessed, we have the Waddell family leading us in praise and worship. I just want to say a heartfelt thank you, church. Thank you for continuing to support the church through worship in your giving. You have been generous and you are continuing to position the church both for now and for the future. It's part of our DNA as a Christ follower, and it's definitely part of the DNA of this church. And so just again, a heartfelt thank you. As we move into a time of worship, can I encourage you to set the distractions aside, to take a few moments and just to gather as a family or a group wherever you are, and to sing along with the music and the words. The words will come along the bottom third of the screen, and we'd love to hear how you are expressing worship in this time. So let's pray. So Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the chance to gather in this way. We thank you for the work of your Spirit that moves regardless of where we are. And so we ask that you continue to bless the families that are gathering today. Bless your people. Continue to allow us to be lights in the darkness and to create hope where hope seems to not exist. So, Lord, as we take a few moments to set this time aside, help us to focus in on you. Help us to reposition our minds and in the approach of what we're saying and doing. So we love you, we worship you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. church, good evening, church, whichever one you're watching. Welcome to church. We are the Woodells. The cool part about virtual church is we get to try new things. And this time I get to sing worship with my parents. So, yeah, join us in worship together and grab your family and your, I guess not your friends, because they're not allowed over, but grab your family and let's sing together.
Thank you. Hey, church, how are you? My name is Chet, and I'm the pastor of Student Ministries here at Vernon Alliance. It is so good that we can be gathered in this way. I am excited to bring you God's Word. One of the things I just want to let you know is that I'm coming from a bit of a live environment here. And so if you hear the dog barking or maybe my neighbor feeding the cows, we're just going to move right on through. Church, I'm excited that I get to launch our brand new series. This is a study of the fourfold gospel. And you may be wondering, Chet, what is the fourfold gospel? Well, it is a distinctive of our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. It is something that was developed by our founder, A.B. Simpson. And it articulates four core things that are true of Jesus. That Jesus is our Savior. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our sanctifier, Christ is our healer, and Christ is our coming king. These are four core truths, four true things about who Jesus is. And I think it's just so important right now that we talk about the things that are true, the things that are foundational. And there's nothing more foundational than Jesus, right? Scripture calls him our cornerstone and our rock. And right now in the craziness of things, we need that foundation. But the thing is this, church, I've been thinking about this because we not only need that foundation right now. See, like, Jesus is, I don't know, not meant to be the duct tape that holds us together in this moment, but in fact, the foundation that we build every day of our lives upon. What we do now in this series, what we're doing now as we continue to study God's word, is not just for this moment, but it's for the rest of our lives. And so I'm excited for this series that we're going to study together. Now, before we begin, I would love to pray with you. And I actually want to pray with you. I want us to do something together. What I want us to do is a breath prayer. And a breath prayer is simply this, that when you breathe in, you would say, Jesus Christ. And when you breathe out, you would say, is Lord of all. And you breathe in the sweetness of Jesus and his goodness to you. And then when you breathe out, you can just breathe out all the current cares and anxieties and worries that are burdening you this morning or this evening or this afternoon, whenever you're watching this. So you breathe in Jesus, and then you breathe out all of those things, and you cover it in the truth that he is Lord of all. So let's do that together. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. A little slower this time. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Father, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to be gathered this morning in this way, to be able to participate together. Yes, God, we got to be honest that we are grieving at the same time the loss of our physical connection and gathering, but that's just the way you've made us. You've made us for community. You've made us to be together, and so we grieve that now, while also with gratitude, being thankful for the ways in which we can connect. Father, I pray that we'd be diligent in praying for one another. Father, I pray that we would be focused on spending time with you so that our lives would be built on you, our firm foundation. God, I pray this morning that through the study of John 3:16, we would understand in a deeper and fuller way your presence with us, that you are our present Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we are going to study Christ our Savior. So good. And we are going to study Christ our Savior through the text, John 3:16. Now John 3:16, it is the most famous words in the whole Bible. It is a verse that many people will know whether they are familiar with Christianity or not. Some of you may even have it memorized, not because you even intended to, but just by absorption of hearing it so much. And so, as we begin, let us say John 3:16 together. The words are going to be here for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. The word of the Lord. We say, thanks be to God. Now, the reason why John 3:16 is so famous, or at least one of the reasons why, is because of its ability to summarize the gospel and our response to it so succinctly. It in many ways summarizes all that this book is seeking to say in a single verse. It is the very words of Jesus. It comes from a conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. And in this verse, what Jesus is saying is, I want to be clear about God's love. I want to be clear about God's gift, and I want to be clear about God's promise. It summarizes those three things that are so fundamental to our gospel. The love of God, what he has done. He has sent his Son, and that Son, Jesus, lived the life we couldn't live. Paid the penalty that we could not pay. Died the death we could not avoid. And then rose again ascended to the right hand of the Father. That is our gospel. That is God's love at work. That is God's gift, the gift of his Son at work. And that is God's promise, so that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life, life restored with the Father, life redeemed. John 3:16 articulates this so beautifully and so well. But here's the thing, church. I have a concern, and my concern is this. My concern is that John 3:16 has the potential to lose some of its potency and its impact. And the reason I have this concern is this, is that it becomes so much about what God has done that it begins to become a memory that gets increasingly distant. And not only that, it becomes so much about what God is going to do that becomes more of a dream or a fantasy that we look forward to. And in that way, what God has done and what God will do don't seem to have relevance for the present moment. Don't seem to have impact for today. But here's the case I want to make, because I believe that this is the case that Jesus is making in John 3:16, is that he is wanting to be very clear that we have a present Savior. Christ, our present Savior, or Christ our Savior, is our present Savior. That is good news. And in fact, that what he has done in the past has for us a present reality. What he is doing still to come has for us now a present reality. In this way, church, we are so blessed, because in the love of God, we have an incredible present assurance. In the gift of God, we have an incredible present strength. In the promise of God, we have an incredible present hope. That is good news for us. And I believe that this is what Jesus is teaching us in John 3:16. So let's dive in. The first thing is that we have in Jesus, on account of God's love, a present assurance. John 3:16 is very clear. For God so loved the world that he sent. This is past tense. This is the work of God already at work in our world. It is the saving work of God that is already being done, and we know now is completed in Jesus. God has acted in history so that we might be saved. That is the love that was sent. That is the love that was gave. That is something that has been done. But here's the cool thing. What has been done has a present reality. It provides us a present assurance. And that is that the assurance of God's love gives us an assurance that we are made new. I mentioned that John 3:16 is part of a larger conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. And in that conversation that he has with Nicodemus, what Jesus talks to him about is being born again. And he says, you have to be born again if you are to enter the kingdom of God. And of course, this is like strange language. This is sort of like interesting imagery. It even freaked Nicodemus out a little bit. But the point is this, what Jesus is saying is that when it comes to who we are prior to him, prior to our Savior, that we don't just need a remodeling. We don't just need a retooling. We don't just need a refurbishment. We need a complete rebirth. We have to be made completely new. And that is something that our assurance of God's love does on our behalf. Because of God's love, we are made new. And our being made new now becomes the present assurance of God's love. One of the verses that brings us together so well comes from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, it says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Church, you can be sure that the old has gone, that the new has come, that you have been reconciled to Christ on account of what Jesus has done. We have a present assurance based on the love of God. That is good news, friends. And out of this present assurance comes a present hope on account of the promise of God. Church, I am with you. We are with you. We all anticipate what is to come. We all anticipate the new heaven and the new earth when death and disease and pain are done away with. Oh, we look forward to this so much. We anticipate that future promise. But that future promise has a present reality. It has a present hope. And that is found in the person Jesus. See, when Jesus says in John 3:16 that we will have eternal life, what we need to understand is that that eternal life begins now. The restored relationship is accessed now. Here's what 1 Peter says. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Church, we have a present hope because we already have access to the future promise. Jesus is our present hope. He is the resurrected one. We have been brought back into relationship with the Father. That's what we look forward to most. Even more than the destination itself, what we anticipate the most when it comes to eternal life is that we have been restored into right relationship with God, and that presently exists, church. We presently get to enjoy that. That is our present experience. So we see that we have a present experience of his assurance through his love. We see that we have a present experience of hope through his promise. And lastly, we have a present experience of his strength because of the gift. Church, we need strength in this day, don't we? And the reason that we have strength is because our faith is not put in a something, but a someone, the person Jesus. See, God did not send salvation to earth. He sent his son. He didn't ask us to believe in a doctrine, but to believe in his son, to believe in the person. Our salvation has always been about a person. It has always been about a relationship, not a something. A.B. Simpson put it this way. It is a person, a living, loving, real man, Christ, our brother, our Savior, our living head. Because it is a someone, because it is a something, our believing is not just a mental assent. It's not just an acknowledgement, but it is a trust of one's life. We put our lives in his life. We trust him wholeheartedly. As one author put it, to believe is to trust. To believe is to give your heart to be in deep relationship with that something or someone you've given your heart to. Friends, we have a present strength because the gift is not a something, but a someone, the person Jesus. You guys, we are strong because Christ is present with us, because our salvation is a person, not a something. He is that strong one. And because you trusted him with the biggest thing, to remove the burden of sin, we can trust him now in all things to be our strength. I love how Psalm 68 puts it. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. You guys, if you have already trusted him with the greatest burden, we can trust him for strength to face the burdens of today. We can trust our Savior for strength to face the daily burdens. And again, it's not even our strength, but we are trusting in His strength. Our trust is entirely in Him. So we have a present assurance based on the love of God. We have a present hope based on the promises of God. We have a present strength based on the gift of God, His Son, Jesus. A few simple applications. One is this: when it comes to experiencing our present assurance, I would encourage you to just remind each other of God's goodness, to remind each other of God's faithfulness, to remind each other of what God has done for you, so that someone else will have confidence in what He is doing today. When it comes to hope, may hope fill us with joy so that our conversation with one another overflows in that way. That we build each other up, that we encourage one another, that we would have worship and thanks on our heart. And when it comes to strength, may we not forget that we need to share our burdens with one another. That Christ has filled us with His Holy Spirit so that we might minister to one another, that we might lift each other up, that He might be strength for us through each other. And so share your burdens with one another, church. Let people know so we can pray with you, so we can support you. Our hope is this: that Christ, our Savior, that Christ, our Savior, He is our assurance of God's love. He is our hope of God's promise. And He is our strength as we trust in Him. Because of what He has done in the past, because of what He's doing in the future, and because of the way in which this is a present reality for us now, remember that He has always been with you.
I have never walked alone. You were with me through it all. In broken hearts and broken bones, You have always held me close. There's no place that I could go. Heaven's height or hell below, I have lived enough to know anywhere with You is home. Alleluia, Christ the Lord is with me. Alleluia, Christ the Lord is with me. Alleluia, Christ the Lord is with me. Now I live with confidence that nothing in my universe could ever separate me from Jesus' everlasting love. And there's no height and there's no depth, true in life and true in death. You keep Your covenant, great is Your faithfulness. Alleluia, Christ the Lord is with me. Alleluia, Christ the Lord is with me. Alleluia, Christ the Lord is with me.
Church, we have an ever-present Savior. And so let me bless you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that his ways may be known on the earth, his salvation among all nations. We love you, Church.